Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jeep, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
How's the house? Is it in good shape?
How's the house? Yes. It's okay, in great good. Shape. I like how Mel rolled the blankets.
Yes. She's a blanket roller.
I like her. I like that. It might have to come into my stable of skill set.
Yeah. A good rolling technique is always
Now, can I ask a question? Do you have access to your attic?
100%.
So can you go and lay in some more insulation?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna have to do. I don't know why. I mean, no one mentioned this. The thing when you buy a house and you've never lived in a house before, and then you buy a 130-year-old house, no one says these things to you like, hey, did you check to see if there's insulation between the roof, like the attic Nobody. And then I'm looking outside. I'm like, wow, look at all our cool icicles. And then look at our roof. There's no snow on it. How much better are we doing? And then apparently, no. That means we're just paying to heat the outside.
Wouldn't the pre-sale inspection mention that?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Mm. Yeah.
You might be able to sue.
Well, the people live across the street that we bought it from.
Well, there you go. Knock on their door right now.
I don't think they're home. I should just break in and steal a bunch of stuff.
Steal their insulation.
Yeah. Stick it up on ours.
Yeah.
This can't hold up in a court of law, can it?
Well, Ask Wonga. He's the legal expert.
Yes. Yes, it can.
And yeah. Charles.
Charles is in charge of my days and my nights.
So weird having Wonga wearing a trucker's hat. I don't know why.
I know.
It's so odd.
It is weird.
It is weird.
I feel like you just got out of an 18-wheeler.
I did.
With his plaid. He's got the plaid on too.
No, street people slash hookers who go around. That was what
lot I was lizards.
Doing. I was a lot lizard for a weekend.
You need to draw.
What?
Yeah, I was selling my body to truckers all over Ontario at gas stations.
That's is your I phone number in the toilets?
Yep, I had to do a lot. I was there was some glory holing. There was some wrist rockets. There are lots of things going on.
You could raise funds up
right now.
GC, stop it!
I've never heard the term "lot lizard" before, ever.
Yeah,
me neither.
It's a great way to start a show.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Footy Prime. It's Sunday night / Monday morning. Dubs has got a very important appointment tomorrow morning, haven't you, Dubs?
Please tell us, Dubs.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. It's very important.
I don't.
Okay, what is it? And then we'll let the listeners decide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. It's a UEFA program that I'm doing.
And what is that UEFA program? Yeah.
It's a players management program. So I can learn about players management and worldwide football and the state
of... That sounds so apologetic. Is this really
not
cool?
Important
I know,
all.
But I
not
wasn't important. Prepared to talk about it. No, I'm excited about it. I think I'm going to be the token old gal. Because this is mostly current players.
Player management. So it's about managing individuals. It's not a coaching badge, for example, right?
No. No. It would be from a sporting perspective, administrative perspective. Mm-hmm. Whether you're already working with the club or have done work with professional clubs, it's about sort of furthering your knowledge in that regard, in that realm.
Do you feel that you need more knowledge in that regard?
I do. That's why I'm doing the course.
Do you think you'll be able to use some of what you learn on the course within this podcast and what we're doing here?
I don't think so, but I'm going to work hard on finding an angle so I can maybe, the French word that's coming to mind is gère. They call little girls who are bossy, you know how little girls usually get a bad rap, like boys are like self-sufficient and they know what they want, but little girls are bossy. So in French, they call them the germaines because they like to gère, so they like to direct, they like to manage people. So I'll put my managing hat on and I'll try to steer you guys a little bit more.
Good. We can benefit from that. It's so true, though, isn't it?
Boys are leaders.
Will you be in the parking lots of gas stations too for one weekend?
Hopefully.
You're gonna follow through.
Yeah. Huh. It's one of my short-term goals.
That is true though, right? Boys are considered leaders and girls are like, oh, she's so bossy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you changed that, okay?
Yeah.
You go there and you change that.
One UEFA course at a time.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's very exciting. It's good to see one of us furthering their education and bettering themselves as opposed to the rest of us doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Thank you. And thank you to you guys for moving your lives around to accommodate me.
That's two shows in a row.
I know. See how I'm already steering?
How do you say that again in French?
Germaine.
Germaine, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, that's right. It's all part of my plan.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Okay, so let's get to the football talk, shall we? Where shall we start? Premier League 5 games. Ivan Toney. Let's start with Ivan Toney, shall we?
Yeah, let's, eh?
He returns from his 8-month ban, first game in the Prem, scores a beautiful free kick to break the hearts of Nottingham Forest fans.
It wasn't
worldwide.
Beautiful. It wasn't beautiful.
Okay, so the story around it then, Jimmy, is the fact that he moved the ball, but not just that he moved the ball. He scooped up the little foamy referee stuff. It looked really great. I love that. Now, as a Forest fan, you hate it, Jimmy, but come on. There's got to be some respect there.
No, it was clever. But the other thing is, too, the guys in the wall, how are they not seeing this? And every time why are you not yelling at the referee? And when he moves it, why are you not shifting over half a yard? Because Chris Woods doesn't move and it gets wrapped around him. I don't know what Woods was doing either because he jumps to his right and the ball just goes in. It wasn't a terrific free kick at all by any means. The wall should have stopped it. But you got to have the common sense to look at it and go, okay, the ref's not doing anything, but he's moving the ball, so I'm going to shift with him. No?
Yeah.
So we can't give Toney credit for a great penalty. Yes, clever. I like the way he did it, just shifting the ball a little bit. But shit goal. We shouldn't have conceded that.
There was one I shared something yesterday, and it was from this chap on Twitter, Daniel_LUFC. So Ivan Toney breaks the rules, lets his club down, placed bets against them, and openly disrespects them on multiple occasions, but then gets a hero's reception from them, cheats to score his first goal, and Sky give him an arse-licking and man of the match. Okay, then, 2 smiley faces. I think that's brilliant. I was like, this is the guy. I love this guy already. This is my superhero.
Also, his name's Daniel.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about Toney.
Toney.
Ivan Toney Betts. Like, he literally has a name we can get behind.
Is he a rapscallion?
He's something. It's pretty funny.
He might be a rapscallion.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, if we heard Jimmy Brennan's take had if Tony played for Forrest?
Do you think it'd be different, Dubs?
Oh, it would be entirely different. Look at this wily move. How clever was he to do it?
Look at the had little foresight to do it.
See what he get away with. Cunning, 100%. Clever, sly.
Love it. Sneaky.
Yep.
A cunning linguist.
Instead, I'm on the other side going, what a prick for cheating.
He really bet on himself.
It wasn't so much the cheating, though, but to me, it was the how he was so subtle in just moving the referee's foam to extend the line. I thought that was brilliant. It wasn't so much, I mean, everyone moves the ball a little bit, right, Jimmy? I mean, you've done it, I'm sure, taking free kicks, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, yeah, you've done that before. So how is it different to when you did it? Because it was against your team, right?
Because it was against my team, Charms. Mm. That's the only real reason why I have bitterness. But you do, as soon as the wall's set and you stand by the ball, you try to move it just a little bit. So give yourself a couple inches.
Anyone want to jump in there with a yeah. move the ball?
No, I left it open.
All you need is a couple inches.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Craig,
couple
by the way,
inches just to find that gap that you're looking for.
Yeah, we're missing Craig right now. He's golfing. Like, he's actually golfing right now. He said he could make it because he's golfing in Palm Springs. But I mean, I think we should celebrate a little bit of cheekiness in football, eh, Dubs? It's a bit of fun, though, isn't it? Now, this guy obviously has a bit of form, given what's happened, the big ban. He suggested this week, too, that he'd love to play for, you know, an elite club winning trophies. This after his club stood by him throughout his ban. So are we supposed to love Ivan Toney if you're a Brentford fan, or are you supposed to be a little bit suspicious of him or just enjoy him while you have him at this point?
I think if you're a fan, you're just enjoying him because you've got him now. And I think from his perspective, yeah, it's been an 8-month ban, but he's been back training with the side since September. He's been scoring hat tricks with the reserve team. Like, this guy has had the chance and has had the occasion to hone certain aspects of his game. Maybe not like the cutting and the cleverness that it takes to move the ball a couple of inches in your favor on a set piece. But, you know, he's at a level of in-game fitness that I think is over, or it's beyond where you would think a guy like him would be at this point. So I think if you're a fan, I think you appreciate it for sure, because he's been working against it. So, I mean, he comes in, he's scoring these goals for fun against youth side. I think, you know, the who was it against that he got the hat trick? But they were saying like he's doing it against 14-year-olds. So it's not necessarily, but he's able to step up and then in these situations deliver. And as a fan, you love that. So I think you appreciate it and you sort of revel in it while it's going to last. And is his form going to continue? I'm not sure, but I think you appreciate what he's giving to your club at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think as well, you know, if you're a fan of Brentford, the minute that you get a player that's coming in and doing well, you've got it in the back of your mind that player's moving. They're going somewhere because it's just the type of club that it is. And there's been speculation around Toney for a while now about him going to a big club. So, yeah, you can be pissed, but at the same time, you've got to enjoy these moments because you've got a very special player, a player who's going to make your club an awful lot of money when you sell him. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts, because he's going to be off. He's going to a big club.
I was amazed that he played the 100 minutes. I was also amazed he didn't come back with a Kevin De Bruyne long hair. And I think he probably bet on himself yesterday. That's why he played so well.
Yeah,
like, you know, all of a sudden you're coming back, you're going, I am playing the full 100 because I need an assist here, or I, you know, there's something that needs to happen.
He should have came back with a Cat Williams flow.
Straight.
I don't know what a Cat Williams flow is.
It's when black dudes straighten their hair.
Oh, and like James?
And it's basically the opposite of a perm. It's
a perm, put a relaxer in
it. It's a relaxer.
Yeah.
A relaxant. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's a relaxer. I had an Italian friend, one of my best friends growing up. He had curly hair. And I'll never forget it. And it was like kind of puffy in that. And one day he put this relaxer in his hair and he came in with this long straight hair. I couldn't stop staring at him. I must have just stared at him for about an hour, just looking at him.
Didn't Sleep do that once?
And he kept on doing, you know, one of those where it just brushes your face. So be talking.
And how long did it last? Like once you did that?
Oh, he continued doing it for probably like, I would say, a good 8 months. And we used to live together when I was in England. And I'd come downstairs and he'd have all this product in his hair, trying to straighten it, relax it. Blow dryer. He loved it.
So he had tight curls, did he?
Oh, really tight. Really, really tight.
Tight curls. I mean, that's worse than being ginger, isn't it? If they're really tight curls.
No, I like the tight curls.
What, on a white dude? Is that what you're trying to say? On a white guy?
Sure. Yeah, on a white guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a Jerry curl?
What is Jerry curl? That's a good point. What is that? Because that's... Juan Guzman had Jerry curls, didn't he?
The old Rick James. Guy. Rick James had another Jerry curl.
Or like in Coming to America.
Yeah, Coming to America. Yeah. McDowell's the son-in-law or the to-be son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being on ER. Eric something.
That's what his name was.
Yeah.
Eric. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. I'll go back in the crates now. For some of that, for that ER.
ER was a great show when it first started. George Clooney made him famous. Mm-hmm. Bolstered the gray hair culture, didn't it?
Gray hair.
Hold on a minute.
Speaking of Scottish, do you see how Celtic played today? They played a team called Bucky Thistle.
Oh, big club.
What a great name.
What do you mean, big club?
Well, the popular club. Everybody
knows. Yeah. I never heard of it before, Jimmy, but it is. Now I'm seeing like on all the Scottish media pumping this game's tires. Celtic won 5-0. Yeah. They play in the Highland League, right? Yeah. I never heard of them, but apparently Stephen King, the author, is a fan of this team.
Yeah. It's a popular little club.
Why? Just the name?
I don't know. Maybe the name. Where it is.
They've been around since 1889, apparently.
That's right. Long time.
What was Stephen King's writing alias? Do you guys remember that?
Richard Bachman.
Oh, I love you, Amy Walsh.
Well done. Really?
Richard Bachman. Yes.
How many books did he write?
I know he wrote a lot of the scary, like more of the kind of fantasy ones. Like I think Salem's Lot was Richard Bachman.
I think Thinner as well.
Stand By Me, I think was Richard Bachman.
Yeah. That's more famous than the title.
Yeah, The Body. The Body, yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie too.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner.
How can Stephen King write so many books?
Balls. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
It's crazy how many books he's written under Stephen King, but no one also is all other author as well. That's something, isn't it?
It is.
Anyone here want to write a book? Everyone's got a book in them, haven't they? No?
One book in them? Yeah, I'd write a book.
Yeah.
I already told you what my book's called.
Remind me.
Get Your Dick Out of My Girlfriend and Other Short Stories My Dad Wants.
Yes. But that'd be a biography cover, right?
Yeah.
That's a biography.
That's it's an autobiography, but it's also it would be interspersed with other people's stories too. So it would be just kind of a let's talk and have a fun time with this book. Like I see it as a book that you would see that you read in bathrooms. Like a good 15-minute story and then you're done. And that's one, you know, so you can knock off 20 of these
15
stories.
15 minutes. What are you doing
with the bathroom? Oh, be careful when you're talking about the bathroom and knocking off, Wonger.
Oh, my Christ. You said it'd be interspersed with other people's stories. I thought you meant other people's quills, other guys' quills.
Well, geez, Amy. I'm an open guy. Things happen. Things happen when you're in the bathroom.
I guess so. Yeah. We used to have Reader's Digest in the bathroom.
Yes.
Remember Reader's Digest?
Campus comedy. Days Like Us.
Stories.
I love those.
I used to have the Sears catalog in mine.
Well, a couple of pages of it.
Yeah. All stuck together.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
The three Brennan brothers rifling through the Christmas wish.
Jesus. Well used, eh? Those three fuckers. Well used.
It's only three pages, but they're all dog-eared. Yeah.
It's the G.I. Joe page and the new bras.
The new bras, yes. And I used to put in it, don't look at my girlfriend, so that they would just go to the next page.
Really? the more mature women, those pages?
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, God, my brain. You know, doing these afternoon podcasts, my brain just doesn't work quite as well as the mornings. There's no doubt.
Well, there was another match yesterday, too.
No, I've got that. Yeah, no, I've got that. And we'll get to them. But there's we'll continue this theme.
Stephen King is as a writer.
No, it wasn't. It might come to me. It probably was. I don't think it was anything particularly interesting. So yeah, back to the games then. So let's start with yesterday. So Arsenal, they smashed Palace.
Smash
5-0. Roy Hodgson, he could be gone this week. It's lots of rumors out there. Does it get to a point where the old managers are so out of touch with the young players? I mean, Roy's done a good job. He's been old for a long time. One of those guys. Right? And he's done a really good job with young players. But, I mean, you tell me, former footballers, I mean, does the coach really need to be in touch with the teenage beat, so to speak? Or is that irrelevant? Can an old guy still get enough out of young players? Is it changing over the years? Is it different now than it was 20 years ago? Jimmy?
I don't... Well, this is what I think. When you're an older manager, you've got plenty of experience, but you have to adapt and you've got to change with the times and you have to adjust to the players that you've inherited, right? And a lot of managers are set in their ways. Those managers are no good going forward. But the managers that do adapt, if you look at like Brian Robson, many managers, Alex Ferguson, they all adapted with what they had and they were successful. And I think it's important as well at times when you do have an older manager that you also have some younger staff around you as well that can relate to a lot of the players. And right now you've got Roy Hodgson, and beside him is Paddy McCarthy. So Paddy McCarthy used to play for Palace. He's a good friend of mine. We actually did our courses together. And Paddy gets it. He's a young guy. He can relate to players, knows the modern game. And Roy Hodgson as well, he's adapted, and that's why he keeps getting jobs. So for me, yeah, they're not getting the results that they want, but they're also not a club that spends an awful lot of money, right? So you're only as good as what you got. And to go with Forrest and what he thinks, you can only fuck with the cock that you got. And that's all that you have, right? So they're holding on. They're above the relegation zone. So for me to say, okay, yeah, you're going to get rid of them, I don't know. I think they got a good staff there, and they're holding their own at the moment. And they are probably punching above their weight because they haven't spent a hell of a lot of money this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, with Graham Potter in the stands, it seems like the change is inevitable, right?
Yeah, probably. Because you also got to think as well, like how long can Roy Hodgson go? Does he have another year in
him? You mean like in life? Like,
you're just so disgusting, Dubs.
I wasn't even talking about that.
In life,
you definitely have to start. You definitely have to start preparing, right, for the future, because Roy is getting older, and you got to start to think, okay, who's the next manager that's going to come and do a job for us? Because he's done well keeping him in the Premier League over the last couple of years.
Potter was in the stands, just as a curious observer, or is he being linked? I haven't seen too much about that.
I think he's been linked.
Yeah, that's Steve poor. Cooper was linked there as well.
Isn't it poor form? If you know that your name's out there in the rumor mill and you just happen to show up, isn't that poor form from Graham Potter?
I don't think it would be that though, Sharms. I don't think Potter's showing up. I think he's not hired and scouting and assessing the way John Herdman was months in advance before he took over from Terry. But I think he's there by invitation. That's what I think.
Does Roy know? Does Roy know that he's leaving? He's stepping down?
No, but I think that, I mean, I guess that would be poor form if you still have a manager who's employed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've right? Got, under like, contract and you're inviting agreement. Somebody in. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Remember, like this is just speculation, right? And I agree with Dubs. I mean, he's obviously there for a reason. Why would he be at Crystal Palace right now watching the match? And I'm sure Roy Hodgson has also probably had discussions with the board as well. He's 76 years old. Mm-hmm. Like how much longer are you going to keep going? And he might be thinking, hey, this probably could be my last year and let's start looking for a replacement. So there's probably a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes And Roy's been around a hell of a long time, so I don't think that that would even, he wouldn't even blink at that, regardless what managers are in there.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what you were saying, Sharms, about these older managers and being out of touch, I think as long as Jimmy was saying, you've evolved, you've modernized, you've adapted, and you're addressing the people in front of you, you're not too regimented and you're not too stuck to an old system. You're working with what you have because that's what the board or that's what the spending has given you in terms of your roster and what's available to you on the pitch. I think there's a certain amount of respect that's built in there too. So if the players like and respect you and they understand that there's an openness from you and a willingness to see the person, to see the possibility in the players there, then that can go a long way. I think there is a certain ceiling put on it because of lack of spending, but I don't think it has, I think it has very little to do with the actual age of the person.
Unless you try too hard though, right? Because there's nothing more unbecoming than seeing that old guy trying to be cool, hanging out at the bar, you know, wearing a trucker's hat.
And a plaid shirt?
That's trying to be hip.
With relaxed with hair. Right?
Dyeing his beard gray, trying to be cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It is pathetic, though, isn't it? Not so,
what are you guys talking about?
Wearing glasses that aren't prescription.
Yeah.
You see those guys, you know, in their 50s, and they have the ball cap on backwards, you know, and they're wearing a basketball, you know, jersey, and they're wearing their Jordans. It's like, no, just stop, you know. You can still be hip and look cool in your 50s, but don't try and be 20. I mean,
how old are you, Charms? How old are you now?
I'm old. I'm 49.
So when do you turn 50?
April.
Okay.
Why? Is that like wearing a toque that says power?
Yes, it's Pickering power.
All right.
It's like power plant. Ringette team, actually.
It's Charms' Ringette team, not Joe's.
Yeah, Charms. There's a bunch of old guys have formed their own Ringette league.
Senior league. Senior league Ringette. 45 plus.
Power plant.
Yeah. Should be called the Pickering Meltdown.
Can you really skate, like Charms? Preserving your vegetables so it's pickling power?
What was that one guy? What did he say?
How's your skating ability?
Oh, shit. I can barely skate.
Okay. I was wondering.
I can get down the rink without falling over, but I can't do crossovers, and God help me thinking about going back.
You can't do a crossover?
No.
So you can only go in a straight line?
It's one of my biggest regrets is, and I can turn, but it's more of a glide. So honestly, one of my biggest regrets, in fact, it is my biggest regret, is not learning how to skate properly and not playing hockey. I came here when I was 16, right? And I should have done because I love the game so much. And I think I would have been competent at it.
I thought you were going to say a very average player.
No, very, I mean, we'll say competent. You're very average, yes.
Okay.
I like hitting people.
And what's stopping you from skating?
Fear.
Of not being able to skate?
The ice, yes. That's Yeah. I'm terrified of not being able to skate. Why do you think that? Because I can't skate.
I'm sure you could find like some garage league where it's people who aren't very good.
That's what they say. But I think there's always some dickhead out there who can skate, though, right?
No, I've played corners, a couple of... Get a bunch of foreigners and go for it.
Bunch
of foreigners, yeah. any new Canadians out there want to start a hockey league? Because I'm all in. Yeah. I'd love that. It'd be so much fun. Can everyone here skate? Everyone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I've never seen JC.
I see JC shaking his head.
It's been a while.
You can, though.
I mean, I have.
Can we have like a head-to-head? Can we have like a JC versus Charms race?
That'd be amazing. Yeah. A race.
But we have to tie our skates the way that you used to be able to tie your skates when you were a kid and like you're out like this.
Yeah. You want to hear a really cool story, which I told you this on the dark web, right? So my daughter's going for these skating lessons at this thing called the Skating Lab. I think it's called the Skating Lab in North York. And the first thing that they get to, and they say, listen, your skate's too big. I mean, I don't know. I bought skates for her. I had no idea what I'm shopping for. So skates are massive, way too big for her. So they say, listen, you can't be wearing these skates. She's using one of those, you know, those treadmill skating things? You skate in the treadmill and they look at your gait and everything. One of those. So they say, you cannot. They're just too big for you. It's crazy. No wonder she's having difficulty in certain parts of the ice. So this little way here, we've got a whole bunch of skates here you can borrow. So they pull one out and they go, this is actually a pretty special pair. they've won the gold medal. It turns out they're Natalie Spooner's skates, which is the coolest thing. And she's won two gold medals, and one of the gold medals she wore these particular skates. So my kid's been wearing these skates the last week, and it's like transformed her. She's like gold medal quality skater now. But it's really cool. Natalie Spooner's a bit of a legend.
Yeah.
Would they fit you?
She's badass.
No, but they're so, I didn't realize how small skates had to be. I didn't realize
that. Well, yeah, they're like a size and a half to two sizes smaller than like your regular shoes.
Yeah, like I thought just regular size.
It's like your football boots. You're wearing them tight.
Yeah, I know we discussed that before, right? But yeah, really tight. Yeah, anyway, that's my skating story.
It's a great story.
I'm better at watching people skate than actually skating myself.
Mm-hmm. So does that work for underwear? Because I mean, so I should be wearing like extra, extra small.
Now you're asking the wrong guy about that.
Jimmy with his triple XL, two sizes too small.
No, Jimmy's a no underwear guy.
No,
right?
He's got no underwear. Well,
that's right. He's no commando. Underwear can hold him.
Mm. Horrible thought. Liverpool look pretty good. Actually, no, staying in the Arsenal game, let's talk about some Arsenal, shall we? They've been, hadn't won since, I think, middle of December. And they came back, they scored goals, and they've been criticized for not scoring goals. Five set pieces look really, really great. I think they've been, apparently, according to a bunch of the players and Arteta, they've been practicing set pieces in this little mini break they've had, which they said was really, really boring, but it's paid off, obviously. They look pretty good, Dubs, didn't they? They look much more improved and perhaps that title contender we thought they should be.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch all of that game, but I saw the beginning. So I didn't see when it really opened up, like Martinelli got a brace, right? I missed those. Mm-hmm. But I think Arteta has also, I mean, he tends to moan and complain, but he did have a point with the way that teams tend to react or tend to set up against Arsenal is where they're going to drop into kind of a lower block, which sort of stifles Arsenal in the way that they want to express themselves and they want to play. So, you know, the game state and not scoring early on and then having to press and hope for something to happen later, the game isn't wide open the way that they want it to be. So then, you know, they are forced, I think, to find a different way to convert, a different way to be effective, and it's via these set pieces. And it's interesting the way that they tend to attack the same area, but they'll do it in a myriad of ways. So like Declan Rice is the one who swings in that corner. And Declan Rice is usually one of the targets, but instead he's the one taking that corner. Was it Gabriel Jesus on that first goal?
Martinelli.
Was Martinelli on the first?
No, sorry. Gabriel.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was, but, yeah. And the way that they're going to create blocks in there, and you saw it on the second one, I'm sure Forrest would be all over the goalkeeper here, because like the goalkeeper is going up and expecting the foul to be called, and it ends up being an own goal. But I think that's credit to Arsenal and the way that they're rehearsing and they're practicing these set pieces, because they know that, yes, they have talent in where, you know, the goal scoring is going to be more by committee, and they're not going to be reliant just on one single goal scorer, which could also be looked at as their Achilles heel in a way too, right? They don't have that one talisman. But here now they can be reliant on these set pieces and really get into the dangerous areas. And now they have a game where they can say, look, you know, like, was it the five goals that they scored were all conversions on set pieces? Like, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It came a long way, right? Because, I mean, they've been so,
yeah,
a lot of issues last month or so in front of goal.
Yep.
Couldn't create anything.
I think when you look at it as well, and set plays are such a massive piece of football, and a lot of people don't give it as much credit as what it deserves, because if you're a very good team that's very good at possession, you can score goals, and all of a sudden you're playing against a team that wants to bunker in, they make it very difficult for you.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it might be a tricky set play that gets you that 3 points and that win. Or when you're playing against another team that's just as good as you, you might be both countering teams. You cancel each other out, but it's a set play that's going to win the match. And I think with Forest and Brentford, even the other day, or yesterday, there's two teams that are, you know, near enough the bottom half of the table, relatively close on points, but Brentford scores two set plays, ends up winning 3-2. Right, from a free kick and a corner. And it's so important that you practice these set plays. And we hear about it all the times, and everybody's talking about, oh, tactically, we got to do this, and tactics is that. But in local football, very rarely do you see kids practicing set plays. Even at a young age, 8, 9, 10, 11, even my son's team, U10s, my youngest one, like they never practice set plays. Set plays are so important. Throw-ins, corner kicks, free kicks, penalties, like these should be practiced all the time. It's an art, right? When you put these little plans together, but they don't do enough of it. And it's good to see teams are actually starting to do it and they're getting rewarded for it. To score five set plays in one match, fucking hell, that's terrific.
Yeah, they came off set plays. It was like...
off set plays, right? Whether it's a second phase or not. It's a second phase or not, it's still off of that set play.
No, it wasn't. It was Gabriel, the defender, right? He was aware that was climbing above everyone in that box, being so aggressive. Yeah. And it was fantastic. So I don't know if they're back or not. Bakayoko Osaka was interviewed by BT post-match. He is such a smart guy and just a great interview. So refreshing, right, to see these guys now. I mean, it's tough. BT, like, there's big numbers watching that. You're on the pitch. I love the way they do it. They have their talent on the pitch, little desk. Bring over the players as they're walking off the pitch. It's something we should do more here, I think, because you get some pretty good reactions, and I'm a big fan of him. Just superb. Liverpool looked pretty good today as well, for at least for half the game. So much for missing Mo Salah, who, by the way, is nursing a hamstring injury, Dubs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be too serious, but maybe serious enough that he's going to come back to Liverpool for treatment, which would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's almost the best case scenario, isn't it? As a Liverpool fan, I saw that actually just before we hopped on that Klopp was talking about that he should be coming back to Liverpool for treatment. Yeah, so you love that, and it was also interesting to hear. I watched the post game with Jermaine Defoe and David James, and I hadn't seen David James in ages, and actually he's quite good. Reminded me of Forrest a little bit, like a goalkeeper as a pundit, but really knowledgeable and measured and well-spoken. And he was talking about the front runners and the forwards for Liverpool, especially Nunez, having the freedom to express himself and finding that composure and that clinical aspect that's been lacking in his play in the absence of Salah. That, you know, that you have more of a front three that's free to rotate and move around the pitch and be unpredictable, because you don't have Mo Salah camped out on that right flank, which as reliable as he is in terms of his output and his contributions and his goal scoring, that is something that the opposition can plan for. And obviously, you know, you're not reaching the same heights in terms of, you know, career or consistent goal scoring with the other two. I mean, I think you look at a Jota and what he does in the box, and when the ball's on his foot, he gets a brace today too. Like, he is just one of these guys that he finds himself in goal scoring positions, you know, that ball's going to go in the back of the net. But Nunez has not been that. And Diaz, you know, probably isn't that, that guy like Salah that, you know, it's always going to be a goal. But it was interesting to see. And I think he, James was talking about, and I had to agree with him, that sometimes it takes that star power, the guy that influences the game, that takes the game by the scruff of its neck. It's to the benefit of the team, but sometimes it's the detriment of others because they can't shine as bright. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those guys will say the right things and to say, we're a better side with Salah with us. But sometimes it maybe takes an absence of that star to allow the others to really come to the fore, to really show what they're capable of delivering for a team and for a manager like Klopp.
And what a trick that is, right? For a team that misses out on its best player, but then they can elevate these other players in his absence. Right? That's incredible if you can have that. And Jota is a prime example, right? Jimmy, you were talking last week about how you hate those players. You hate them. Whereas you didn't see them all game long. Did nothing. You're busting your ass out there in your role, and they're doing nothing. And then suddenly, boom, boom, two goals. And they get all the plaudits. That's Jota to a freaking T. He does work hard, in fairness, off the ball a fair amount. But you don't often see him, do you, until you see the score sheet show up?
No. You hate those guys.
Two goals and an assist, right? Like, just
until
crazy.
Until you pick up your paycheck and then you see your win bonus.
He's not so bad after all.
Yeah. I was waiting for Sharms to say he wants to trade Salah now, just because Amy made such a good point about everybody else on the team playing well.
No, I want him around too.
I tell you, is he missing AFCON then because of
games, at least two games. So they're saying he might be available after the round of 16 if they get through Cape Verde tomorrow, the last group phase game. But they're not sure. But I mean, maybe he's not going to Saudi Arabia now after all, right? Because everyone's leaving Saudi Arabia now. Mm. His exodus is being rumored. Henderson,
not Stevie G.
No, he signed two more years, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Who wants some more Eddie Fuck? Him? Stevie G.
But Eddie, fuck.
There's a Monger's whale sack question, or more. Yeah, it is a question. It's from our friend Chris Rourke, who, of course, is a Tottenham Spur fan. Sharms and Dubs, what is with these horrendous green kits of Liverpool? So can you make a comment? Are you thumbs up, thumbs down, or they are horrendous?
No, they're shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? They're shit. All their away kits are shit this year. I don't like them at all. I don't know what they're doing with it.
Yeah, it's affecting their performance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Notice that.
It is.
My kids, too, they're like, wait, what? What's happening? Liverpool? But their Liverpool was up 1-0 because I was watching it at the arena. And so they're over my shoulder. And they're like, but wait a minute, which team is Liverpool? I was like, no, they're the white and green. They're like, why? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's funny. I was watching the game at the arena today as well on my phone.
Mm-hmm. People think you're crazy, right? There's like a real live sport happening in front of you. You've got your like four screens watching other games. You guys are brilliant. Sports.
But then you find out, you kind of get connection. You find out that people on your kid's team, for example, are also fans of a certain team. You had no idea, right? They kind of peek over. Oh, is that the Liverpool game? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. Are we friends now?
Oh, friends.
Oh, man. We should hang out and watch football. Yeah. I don't know why I spoke that way.
I actually got somebody who's interested who used to play soccer, and then but what a chatterbox! And like I deliberately sit away from like I like the other parents a lot, but I want to watch the game. I don't want to chat throughout. I want to watch
focus
my kids.
On the game.
I
yeah, want, I'm the yeah. same.
And then today I wanted to watch, but then also covertly watch the Liverpool game. So I had a plan. And then this guy wouldn't shut up the whole time. Lovely fella, but just a lot to say.
Well, I mean, JP wants to see his kids play as well, right?
Yeah. he was coaching, in fairness. It wasn't JP.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, hey, Jimmy, did you like all the shirts you ever wore? Or was that in the room? Was it exciting when the new shirts are being unveiled late in the season for the next season, which is usually how it worked? Or did you not really give a shit?
No, I didn't. I didn't really give a shit, to be honest with you. I mean, there was a couple that were really bad. I had one at Bristol City that was like a black, red, green. I'm going to have to pull this one out and show you guys one day. It was rotten. And then... I'm trying to think of Forest. We wore purple. Oh, there was one kid at Bristol City. They always wear purple and green. Purple Bristol jerseys City? with green shorts and purple.
And
socks.
It's an away. It's an away.
Yeah, they're away kit. It's always like an alternative. They always bring it in every few years. I wore that. And at Forest, we actually had a purple kit one year.
Do you still have these kits? Do you still have them?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to wear it next pod.
I'll have to dig them up.
We've got to make all three of you guys show up in your like full on kits.
Yeah.
Like I think walk around. It'd be amazing with your shoes on.
At Norwich one time, because normally we go it was yellow jersey, green shorts, yellow socks. And I think we had to wear yellow one match. I looked like a fucking banana.
You look like a creamsicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here, breaking news just came down now. Mo Salah will return to Liverpool for treatment on his hamstring injury.
Of course.
But only after watching Egypt complete their group fixtures at the AFCON. Mm-hmm. Wow, he's coming home. Baby's coming home.
How does he fly home? How does Salah fly home? Yeah, but how does Salah fly home from Africa?
Plane, grabs a seat.
No. Private? Public?
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming it's private.
He's like on one of those, Bombardier.
Professionals don't, private, don't take don't, regular public, the people, the scum. No. They're better than that. Right, Jimmy? How many regular flights did you take when you were playing professional football, huh? Rarely.
All the time.
Delia Smith's private jet everywhere.
We did have some private flights. There were small, just a small plane, though.
But like 16 players? 16 props. Guys?
No, you take 18 players, all staff. It was like small flights.
Like props? 20, like propeller planes?
People. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I remember that was the tournament.
Norwich was a team that we used to have to fly a lot. Mm. So we'd fly up, you know, to Newcastle or Middlesbrough, down to the south coast. And then Southampton a few times you had to fly because you're right at the bottom near enough of the south coast. The rest of Nottingham, not really. Bristol, not too much.
Amy, you were going to jump in there.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, you didn't have any charter flights ever, never first class, but you were able to amass enough points that occasionally you could cash in. Remember, you used to get those coupons with like your gold membership, with like Air Canada. And I remember flying home from Cyprus once and just sliding the coupon across the counter. Like, first class upgrade, please. Best flight ever. Nice. From Cyprus. Yeah. And then there was a tournament that we played. It was a gold cup, I believe. And they had charters for the whole tournament. So it was like us, Brazil, the US, Japan, maybe. And we were like in Kansas City and Boston, one other kind of northeastern or maybe slightly more southern US destination. And all of the teams flew together on this charter. We're like, oh my God, like stars.
Yeah, we did that as well in the Gold Cup.
Okay. No, just like everybody, I think, Jimmy.
What's that?
I said, no, just the women.
We had to share ours with the public.
Yeah.
But we did the same. Yeah, it was great because all the teams got on it. And because you were going to the next destination where everybody was playing in that group stage.
Yeah.
The same stadium. So everybody flew together. So, yeah, that's right.
I don't think they should let business and first class board the plane first. I don't. Because when they were sitting there, even if I've been in that seat once in my life, and like you just know that everyone's walking past you, just fucking hating you. Like so angry and decide, because I know because I'm that person, I'm hating them usually when I'm walking past them to coach. It's kind of awkward, right?
You're going to cargo.
May I jump in? Not to toot my own horn, but on Tuesday I did actually fly first class from New York to Montreal. And little did I know that business class and first class are not the same thing. And according to the in-airport lounge, it's absolutely not the same thing. So when you walk up, you're like, I'm first class. I'd like to get into the lounge. And then they say, sir, we're going to need to see your business class. And you say, well, I'm first class. Isn't that better than business class? Like, no. You're going to have to leave. Very embarrassing.
Is below business class? First classes?
First class is below business class. Who knew?
Is that new?
I thought so.
I also thought first class was above business.
So did I. And you know what? But also now I am very aware that it is not. So
what do you get for first class though? Like what's the just more legroom?
Yeah.
That's it.
Extra pistachios.
Without
the shells.
That's a big step.
Were you upgraded or did you pay for this?
No, we were upgraded.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, good for
you. She recognized your voice?
No, she recognized that there was no way that we were going to make our connecting flight and they didn't want us to make a fuss.
I've heard this guy
before. Because he's a fussy kind of guy, aren't you? You know, you're one of those troublemakers.
And Sharms, going back to what you were saying about not boarding the first class and business people first, I think that's part of the allure.
Is that what it is?
People walking by, being paraded by the people who are going to inevitably have a better experience than than they will. That's what they want those people to aspire to. They want them to pay for that, right? So that they can look down their noses at the next crop of people who can't afford it the next place.
You too can be better. Yeah. Just work harder and work smarter, and you too can be boarded first and judge the scum walking past you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so you guys know I've shaved my feet for our OnlyFans page. So those buttes will be out there. My hobbit feet will be looking all clean for all those.
So also
lurkers.
What are you talking about? For our OnlyFans page. We have an update on our OnlyFans, by the way.
Oh,
we have an update. So I'm happy to announce that our OnlyFans ship, I guess, our OnlyFans, we still have zero OnlyFans
subscribers,
even though it's free. Still have zero, but come on in, everybody. That's There's nothing there.
Now that Wonger talked about his
we're gonna put Wonger's feet on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I want to know
Wonger. I have to understand this. I mean, we're talking about flights, first class, business class.
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in your mind when we were talking about flights? Like, how the fuck did we go to shaving your feet?
Well, Sharm said you have to work harder. So I wanted to get people to understand I've been working harder. I've shaved my hobbit feet for OnlyFans so we could all make more money and fly business class. That's
where your head went.
That's where it went. How hard have I been working?
Take that hat off because that's doing something to you.
It's making me dumber.
Yeah.
It's making you not you.
What's even more concerning here, right, is that he's a hairless man, except for his feet, apparently.
And my head.
And your
head. Also, yeah, I was going to say, if you've got like a foot fetish, like, aren't you really diving into everything that's feet, which is like the grossness of feet? Like, it's the gnarliness, it's the toes, it's the hair, it's the full foot experience. So I feel like you've done the foot fetish people a disservice by shaving your feet.
Oh, I've gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
What if I oil them up? Different shapes and sizes, right? Some people might like the hairy toes.
That's true.
Right? But some people may want to see you shaving it.
Oh, you know what? Right? You just hit on it right there. That's it.
It's not the end result. It's the journey. It's how we get there.
Yep. Maybe you might like get a nick in there too, and people are like, oh my God.
Better apply a Band-Aid.
I think we need to stomp this out.
This is going to require some ointment.
Jimmy's pretending that he's offended, really. He's getting all red.
I know.
He's like, Wonger, keep talking about your feet.
I'm breathing heavy now.
Wow, that was a sharp left turn we took.
Well, you guys wanted to know where it came from. That's where it came from. I'm working hard in the corners for you.
Jesus Christ. speaking of funny things, okay, can you JC explain to me the texting situation where I read it, it's very funny, but you need to explain this to the audience.
You guys are setting a high bar now. It's a high standard.
We're gonna share it on Twitter at some point.
Well, from Dan's point of view, this should be. So I texted Dan. We had a little side hustle that we're doing. And on Friday, I messaged him. I said, hey, I have a question about something. And then the next day, yesterday, I looked at my phone and I read my text to Dan, which was, I have a question about a thing. And I said, oh, I have an answer if you have a minute. And then I realized, wait a second, this is me. So I wrote, oh, shit. I had responded to my own question. But then it's like being hammered and texting your significant, being like, babe, I'll be home soon. And then you write, okay, cool, see you soon.
I found that really amusing.
It was quite funny.
Wonger, anything more from Munger's Wellsack?
No, the last one was from our friend Luigi, who's following us, and he asked a question that I actually asked. I think I asked you and Brendan one time, Sharms, at a match, and it was, why do the men wear bras? and those singlets things, because I didn't know what they were. But I think you explained it to me.
Yeah, it's just the GPS system to track the players.
Right.
Basically.
So it tracks their heart rate.
Everything, right, Jimmy? Right. It's everything, isn't it?
And did you, did either of you, Amy or Jimmy, wear one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like a more rudimentary version where it was more like just the chest kind of clip that went underneath, like for women, like underneath the strap of the of your sports bra. It wasn't kind of like that full sports bra looking contraption.
Right.
But same idea.
Yeah. And so it tracks how far you've run. It tracks your heart rate, kind of how you're optimal, where you are optimally during the match the whole time. And hey, you know what? At 72 minutes, you should come out because you drop off at that point. They're using that kind of analytics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. There you go. So that was Luigi. And then the other thing I wanted you guys to comment on was Canada's men's national team, their interim manager, Biello, right? B-I-E-L-L-O, is going to be around for the next window playing against Trinidad Tobago. All kind of makes sense, correct? Is that the right approach at this point?
Well, they're not rushing the hire, right? So they were going to hire a new coach once they got the new general secretary in place, which they have now, but she's just in the job. Next game's in March, so I guess they're doing the due diligence. And maybe it will be Morrow, Biello. But maybe no one wants a job. I don't know. But it seems that it's a huge game, right? Trinidad and Tobago is massive. It's to qualify for Copa America. Like, that's big. One-off in Frisco. And now if they win that, they get into Copa. I don't know, Jimmy, but at that point, you've got to have a manager in place, right? And with whoever it is, whether it's Morrow or someone else.
Yeah.
You can't have this interim tag on him for much longer.
Yeah, I think for Copa, you got to have the manager that you want that you're going to stick with. Because you need that manager to have a lot of time with these players, with the squad, with the staff going into a World Cup. And you got to remember, too, that World Cup is going to come very, very quick. Very quick. So the more time that this individual can spend with the team, the better it's going to be. So we'll see. Morrow's in there now. Good luck to him. Right, Canadian guy, he's played for the national team. We hope he does well, but who knows what the plan is for the CSA? We don't know. We're just speculating. But good luck to him.
That team needs a result, Dubs. It needs to do something. Hasn't had much going its way for some time.
I didn't know where Frisco was until you just told me. I had to look it up.
Yes, yeah, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has anyone ever played there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's outside Dallas. That's where the Dallas play, Dallas FC or FC Dallas play. They play in Frisco. Okay. Frisco's a great spot. Up and coming.
Have you never played there with your when you weren't you in Houston at one point? No, where were you?
Oh, Atlanta? Yeah, we played a bunch of places in Texas, and also with University of Nebraska being in the Big 12. Like we used to go to Texas all the time, but that was College Station. That was freaking back beyond. I can't even remember any of the other ones, but yeah, I've been to Texas enough.
I've seen, I think, single A baseball game in Frisco once and a soccer match. It was great.
When did you watch great Dallas? FC Dallas?
No, it was Gold Cup.
Oh,
they wouldn't have played in Dallas' stadium then. What was it? Was it still Toyota Park?
I can't remember now.
Toyota Park is where they're playing.
It's in Frisco. Frisco. The game was in Frisco.
So they got I think the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame's there as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
While I was there, we went to into Dallas and did the whole JFK thing, which is pretty cool.
Who's that? What do you mean?
JFK? He was a president that got shot.
Oh, that dude. Yeah. He was on TV, wasn't he?
There's a movie. It was a movie. It's a great movie called JFK. Clint Eastwood. I don't know where he got the idea from. But
I spent all of Tuesday in JFK.
Was it Kevin Costner?
It was Kevin Costner.
Was it?
Yeah. Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
No, that was when Kramer was talking about spitting.
The second spitter. That was the same spitter. I mean, Costner's based on the second shit.
That was some loogie.
Magical loogie.
Gravelly road.
Oh, the gravelly road, yeah. Yeah. All right, everyone. Anything else you want to get to before we jump?
Amy?
Yeah. JC, do you have something for us that I sent over to you?
I sure do.
What do you have here? This is a surprise for us all, apart from JC and Dubs.
Wait, where's your special?
Oh, right. Look at that.
45 presents Looky Likey.
Oh, nice. Who's the guy on the right?
It's Stanley Tucci.
Oh, yeah.
Forrest and our own Greg Forrest.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it good?
It's pretty good. It is pretty good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Stanley's got much hairier arms, though.
Well, we don't know. Craig's gotten hairier.
You know, I've noticed. Craig's, Craig's never shown his arms to me. No. He's always wearing long sleeves.
That's true.
Yeah. I've never seen Craig's arms in 20 years. Arms.
Look at how shiny that other guy's head is. That's like a cue ball.
Stanley Tucci is a delight. He's a great actor, but if you guys watched him sort of do a Italian tour and on CNN,
he's quite really, charming really and he is a delight. But I just think whenever someone says that, he's a complete asshole in real life.
No, but he's amazing well on be.
TV. Yeah,
he's Craig is also a delight.
He's what?
Craig's also a delight.
Also a delight, but I had to work hard to find a recent picture of Forrest with those. Because look, they could be wearing the same pair of specs. Yeah, very similar glasses, very similarly shaped head, equally as dashing, but Forrest is always wearing a ball cap.
Is Forrest on the toilet? What's he?
I told you I had to work hard for the photo. So
was that your Photoshop, Dubs?
Oh, hey, yes. Rhonda.
It kind of looks like Dubs is like opened up the stall and Forrest is going, what the fuck?
Rhonda, like, can you please do that? Can you grab that picture of Craig and put him on the can, please?
That'd be hilarious.
Craig's got a great bald head though, right? He's a good shape for a bald head.
We've talked about
you wear a few hats and just shave, yeah.
Yeah,
he's got a good
what's shape, yours though. Like? What's yours like, Charms? Does it have folds and ridges in it? Yeah.
No, not really. I'll show you a picture of my head. I put it on the dark web recently.
Okay, I'm going to have to do it again. Who blew the Tony Bet footy picks? That's our last round. I got Brentford.
I got mine.
I won 2-0.
Did the floor ball game?
Let me find out for you. Let me find out. I know I screwed up. I had West Ham and they drew today.
So West Ham and Sheffield United fucked us?
Hell of a game.
I didn't see that game. What non-call
does? Did you guys see it? There was like Bowen got tackled basically.
Oh,
Wait on the penalty spot. And no call.
Like Dudley Simonite, that was his Wonger's mail sack. He wanted to know why was that not, and is there a reason it wasn't a pen?
I have no idea. Did you see it, Jimmy?
No, I didn't see
it. It was like a wrestling tackle.
Yep. Yeah, because they were, it was Sheffield United, right?
Yeah, Sheffield against West Ham.
Yeah, so the defender is not even looking at the ball come in from the right flank. And then Bowen is looking to head it on goal and the defender loses sight of the ball and then just closes his arms, like envelops Bowen and like tackles him. And then as the ball comes in and Bowen's upended, the ball goes off his arm and the referee calls it a handball. And then it's Sheffield United's kick going the other way. It made no sense.
Really?
It made no sense.
I had to apologize. It was my bet that screwed the parlay. We got 4 out of 5 right.
We
got Brentford. We got Club America. We got ACF Fiorentina and Vasco IBK.
Fucking Vasco.
And I blew it West Ham. And that was a late goal too, wasn't it? That's like dying minutes, dying seconds of the game.
Penalty.
As well. Penalty, yeah.
Like 102 or something.
So we're $33. And how did the supporters group do?
They lost both theirs. Which is a surprise.
I think they got fucked with that West Ham result as well.
Yes, they did. That was the one. Yeah. And they also
got
had
fucked by that hammer.
Remember the darts bet as well that didn't come through, strangely enough.
Hey, that 16-year-old dart guy, that guy's not 16.
That was Scholesy, wasn't it?
No.
He won the tournament he entered, right?
Okay, looks like he's 47 years old with three kids.
I said he's every bit of 36. He does have three kids. And he has the gout.
Yes, thank you. I'm familiar with JC and I are familiar with the gout, and we can tell you he has the gout with his limb.
That's right. You can spot the gout a mile away, and he's got the gout.
That's why he throws them so quick. It's like, ow, ow, ow. <It's gonna come. laughs>
While we've been recording, also, Ronnie O'Sullivan has won the World Grand Prix. Two tournaments on the hop is Ronnie, and he's one away from the Triple Crown.
What sport are we talking about?
Snooker.
Snooker.
The World Championship's not that far off. Ronnie is flying. Beat Judd Trump today. Seven of the last eight frames. Dubs, stop.
Right on cue.
Give me a chance. Open.
Sorry, I dozed off there a little bit.
All right, let's get out of here, shall we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dubs has to get to her special class tomorrow.
UEFA. Only it's a UEFA class. Only one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
FuboTV.com/footyprime. Yeah. What else?
Great place to watch Premier League, Dubs.
It is.
Yeah, great place.
And Tony Bet. What about that? We sprinkle a little fun in your life.
You know what? We were that close to winning, I think, $88, right?
No, it was 33.
Was it? Yeah. No, I think on the Fiverr, it was me. Wasn't it 88? I don't know. But we didn't win anyway, so it doesn't matter. And it was my fault, so I do apologize.
I'm glad it was. You usually don't. It's not usually your fault.
No, it's usually Dubs.
Yeah, Dubs or me. True. I think it's Dubs or me or Jimmy. I think you, Craig, and JC have been much stronger than the three of us people.
Perhaps it should be the three of us next time, just doing it.
Okay, we could do that too.
Yeah.
Three challenge. We could play that.
Okay.
Oh, I also wanted to say this morning, because Sportsnet was showing Women's Super League, I watched the second half of Chelsea, Man City. United. No, Liverpool. Who are they playing? Liverpool. Yeah, no, United. Liverpool was playing next. City. It was Liverpool City. That's yeah.
Right. I was watching that one.
Yeah. And Jesse Fleming was nowhere on the team sheet. Like she wasn't in the substitute bench. And so there are rumors. I don't know how well sourced these are, but that she might be looking at Thorns.
Oh, really? NWSL. Coming to NWSL?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if that's a good move. Don't know.
Would it be less money or more money? Less money, surely.
I don't know.
They did pump up that broadcast license, right? We saw that, A-Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden that broadcast license means more money to the teams. The teams get to play their players more, pay their players more. It's there is an opportunity in North America.
Yep. And last season, their salary cap got bumped up. And I know that latest contract to Mallory Pugh, Mallory Swanson, I should say now, is her married name, is close to $2 million.
That's right.
Jesus.
Like $400K over 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
So it's still not the money we're talking about in the men's game. Way, like really far off from that, but getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to podcast money, they're killing us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's not do that though. Let's not make that comparison.
Hey, I feel it's going to be a big week for us.
Thank you to Charles Schwab for supplying Warner with his beautiful trucker hat, because that's all they could afford.
They make no money, Charles Schwab.
All right, everyone, that's Footy Prime. TonyBet.ca, thank you so much. Fubo TV, thank you so much. Jimmy, Dubs, JC, Wonga, Craig, wherever you are, thanks so much. We're back on Wednesday for the foundational episode, and let us know what you want us to talk about. Please head on to our Twitters and Instagrams and let us know, and subscribe and give us a nice rating and a nice little little comment about how great we are or bad we are. We don't care, but it does help. It really does help, so please do that. Until next time, keep buying newspapers and cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.